where all the other people came from. And we'll get to that probably toward the end of the lesson, even though it really is not included in this lesson. There's so many questions that people have, and there are alternative explanations that are not biblical that people come up with. But there is sufficient information in the scriptures for us to understand, or have an idea at least, of the answer to all those questions. Now, I can't say that every question will be answered, but we'll stick to the Word of God and let it tell us what we need to know. There are things we don't know, but if it's not in there, and we probably don't even need to know it. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And I use this verse a lot, especially teaching children about how can there be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and yet we say one God. Well, because just in this verse it says, "Let us make man in our image." So we know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were there, right? We can understand that. In fact, we go back to earlier in the text, I think it's verse 2, and it says, "The Spirit of God was upon the face of the water, moved upon the face of the water." So we see the Holy Ghost there. We go to John chapter 1, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we know the Son was there. We know the Father was there. So the Trinity is a biblical concept, a biblical doctrine. It's not something that someone just invented. We can find Jesus and the Spirit in the Old Testament throughout, and the Father throughout. So we have to, even though it's hard for us to comprehend the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost being three in one, we understand that we are three in one. Do you understand you are three in one? Now, you don't. We can't separate out your three distinctions, can we? When we die, we're going to put that physical form in the ground, or however we're going to honor it. And that spiritual part is going to go up to heaven. So we have a mind, we have a soul, we have a body. That's three parts. Just same thing as God. God has the Father, the physical manifestation, which is the Son, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So here in verse 26, we see that God made us in His image. Do you ever have conflict with yourself? Right? Ooh, there's some cake. No, you don't need that cake. Or maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. And we kind of quarrel within ourselves. Well, that's the knowledge, the mind, and the Spirit. It's the want to of the Spirit and the wisdom of the mind. So that's, we can divide ourselves out in that way and understand exactly when God said, "Let us make man in our image," that's what He meant. We are a trichotomy, three parts in one. And let them, so what was the plan? Was the plan just to have Adam? That wasn't the plan. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, the plan of salvation was already laid out. So God already knew. In fact, later we'll deal with the word foreknowledge. God already knew what was upcoming. He knew that He would create Adam, that He would create a mate for him, a companion for him. He knew that they would reproduce, and that after their reproductions, those would reproduce. And so we have a population. He knew that they would sin. He knew that Jesus would have to die on the cross for our sins. He already had that foreknowledge. It was already in the works, already planned, before the foundation of the earth. So He said, "Let them have dominion." The plan was never for just to be Adam. That was never the plan. That was just the beginning of the plan. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, all the earth, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now, understand that in verse 27, He's given us advance notice, because to this point we don't have Eve. To this point we don't have that. Even though the description is there that He created male and female, created He them, it's already described, it's already presented, but the explanation comes later. So we have the mind of God, the plan of God, and yet we know Adam was created first, and then he made Eve. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Now that word, replenish the earth, is one that people get hung up on. We talked, I mentioned last week about this idea that between verse 1 and verse 2, there was a whole creation. And that between verse 1, when God created, and verse 2, when all things were void and without form, that God destroyed the earth and everybody that was on it. And that's where people want to put the dinosaurs and the cavemen and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the case. They're all, verse 1 flows right into verse 2. But because they say the population was destroyed, that's why God uses the term here, replenish. But what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about multiplying. He was talking about filling the earth. He was talking about having children and them having children. So don't get hung up on that one word and build a whole doctrine on it. And subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So what came first, the tree or the seed? The tree. So when he created the tree, how did he create it? Did he create the seed or he created a tree? He created a tree. Did he create a little tree or a big tree? He created a big tree. So how is it that we can date the earth to be so old? Well, when God created Adam, did he create a baby or did he create a man? Okay, so he was a man, wasn't he? Yet, how old was he? He wasn't old. His first day, he was one day old, 1 hour old, but he was a man. He wasn't a baby. And so God created a mature earth. He created a mature man. He created a mature woman. So when you're dating those and you're looking at those and you're looking, there's two problems with the system that we have to date things. And one is that we go back to the flood and that affected things. And then we go back to creation and everything was created mature. And so it changes the way we look at things. Yes, if in the process of time today is different than the process of time before the flood, which is in the process, we look at a tree and we say, well, that tree has got to be 400 years old. No, God made it yesterday. Okay, so that's why the timing is off. So don't get stuck. Don't fear. See, science is good. Science is a tool. Science is a godly teaching until it goes against God. So as long as science agrees with the Word of God, there's no reason for us to be in contradiction to it either. Again, I say there were people that I know of up to 30 years ago, and they're probably still around today, that say dinosaurs never existed. Only one problem with that. We have skeletons. Now, I will argue, and in my studies this week, looking at some of the human skeletons, and by the way, they're not even that old. We say millions of years. We got some now. And by the way, you can look around and find some people that look like cavemen today. By the structure of their bones, we think they're cavemen. By the height, the Bible talks about giants in the land. We got giants today. They're not as plentiful as they were in those days. The whole society of the Philistines, remember, Goliath and his brothers, they were giants. The whole society was giants. And that was not prehistoric. That was during Bible times. So don't fall out and don't wimp away from this discussion. Just use the Bible to explain it. Verse number 29, we continue. It says, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So God said we could eat fruit, right? Is that what you get out of that verse? That's what he said. Verse 30, to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So we have vegetables and fruits, and that was the design that God gave us. Guys, I'm a meat eater. I like steak. I like bacon. Those are things that I enjoy. But the design was vegetarian. So it's no wonder that our bodies don't function the way they should, that we get sick the way we do because we eat things that we weren't designed to eat. Now, not only that, but what did he say the dinosaurs were going to eat? Vegetables. Now you say, well, why did they have those teeth? They had to have eaten each other. Well, have you ever eaten a palm tree? I mean, you got to have some teeth to tear into that. So not only were we humans vegetarians and to eat fruit, also the dinosaurs, also every living thing that creepeth. So things changed. Our diets changed. But in the beginning, in the creation, and by the way, remember in the book of Acts, the Lord told Peter to eat that pig. So bacon's on the table. Right? When he was on Simon's house in Joppa. But so things have changed. Yes, the diets that we have changed. But do understand the book of Genesis, the design was vegetarian. Verse 31, God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day. Another question that comes up a lot. What is Sabbath day? Is Saturday the Sabbath or is Sunday the Sabbath? Well, what's the seventh day? Saturday. Saturday is the seventh day. Saturday is the Sabbath day. And even in our country, our society is designed to rest on a Saturday. Now that's changing. Pete, now we're open 7 days a week and everybody's working 7 days a week. But earlier, it was rest on the Saturday and worship on Sunday. That hadn't changed. The seventh day is a day of rest. Remember what Jesus said, because they scolded him as they were walking through the field. They were hungry and they picked some food and they ate it. And they were scolded because they picked that food on a Sabbath day. And Jesus said, the Sabbath is made for man. That one day a week is made for us. We're not servants of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a servant to us. We need a day of rest. Now, how many of you are retired? You get seven of those. Isn't that great? But we have that day of rest and we can rest. But we've got to allow our bodies that rest. So work hard and then rest on the Sabbath day. That was the instruction. Verse number 3, and God blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it, which means he made it holy. He gave it purpose. That seventh day is a day of rest, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Every plant. Not seed, plant. Every herb of the field before it grew. The Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. We had this discussion a little bit last week. And I don't mean to be repetitious and make you bored, but there are a lot of people who don't understand this. They don't understand the concept that it did not rain on the earth. Now, maybe a lot of people don't care, but it serves the purpose to understand the differences in our climate. When the flood happened, it so changed the ecosystem, the environment, everything's different now. So we can't tell scientifically or by process, we cannot determine a lot before the flood. Does that make sense to everybody? There's just so much we can't because it's different. It's changed so catastrophically. But it had not rained. God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground. Wouldn't that be great? You just go out there and you pick whatever you want and you harvest whatever you want and you don't have to work the field. Nobody had to do that. Everything just grew naturally. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, it's hard to pinpoint, but can you imagine the humidity was just right, that because of the insulation from the sun, there was not the ultraviolet rays, the sunburn. There wasn't the overheating. Also, the changes in the weather, the seasons that we have now, while there was no seasons. It was constant. The temperature was constant. Not only that, but remember, we have one cluster of land at this point. You don't have all the continents divided and separated in different directions. There's one piece of land, and it's positioned in just such a position where we didn't have all these fluctuations. You could travel to the north end, and it wouldn't be as different from the south end or the middle. So much has changed when the flood occurred. But there went up a mist from the earth, like a fog. That's what fog is. It just, you know, the heat rises from the core, from the earth, and it attaches to the humidity in the air, and that's how we get fog. And so it watered the ground. It watered the vegetables and the fruits, all the plants. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's the only occurrence in all of creation where that happened. What did he do? He made fish. He made birds. He made creeping things. But only one time does it say he breathed life and it became a living soul. And I know that that's interesting to us, because those who spend time with animals, whether it's your pets or you work with other animals, you see such personality in them. But they are animals. They're still animals. And so they don't have that living soul that God tells us about here in verse 7. Verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. So of all the things that he created, the trees, the herbs, the fields, everything that he made, there was a special place that he made for Adam. He planted a garden. There was a special place, a certain place. So it was the one thing that he did specifically. The rest of it was all out there that Adam could enjoy, but he made a home for Adam. And out of the ground, verse 9, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight. So he thought of that too. He made it pretty. He made it attractive and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of that garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became in the four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. There's bdellium, an onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same as that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So he gave him a job. He gave him a purpose. We need purpose. We need to have something to do. Everybody needs that. Otherwise, we really lose our sense of who we are and why we're here. So God gave Adam a job to dress it and to keep it. In verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God gave Adam a choice, just like he gives us a choice. You don't have to go to heaven. Nobody has to get saved. There is an option. I wouldn't choose that option, wouldn't advise that option. But everybody's given the free will to choose. And God gave Adam the free will to choose. He gave him one prohibition. How many of you think you could do all right in life if you only had one prohibition, only one thing you couldn't do? So no problem, no worries. I could do all, as long as I don't do that, no problem. But see, sooner or later it catches up, doesn't it? And you notice Adam, to the best of our knowledge, was never tempted to eat it. Never was tempted to eat it. He was given one rule, but that rule he had to share with anybody else that came along, would be an Eve. And he shared it with her. We know he shared it with her because she quoted the rule. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. How many of you agree with that, guys? It's not good for man to be alone. God made him a companion. God said, I will make him a help, meet for him, somebody that is suited for him. And we don't want to be lonely. We want to have companionship. We want to have friendship. We want to have somebody to share our lives with. And even in that, sometimes it causes people to make poor decisions, but the desire is there to have companionship. And God saw that, even though God created man for God's companionship. But he saw there was another need there. And it didn't surprise God. The plan was already there. He knew he was going to do that. But he throws this in here for us to understand it's not good for us to be alone. We need people. The longer we stay away from people, the less we want to be around people. Have you ever noticed that? We even get to the point where we're scared of other people. Verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Again, gave him a purpose, named the animals. Now, surely the words that we use today are not the same words that Adam used. But he was given a purpose. He was given dominion. So whatever he chose to name them, that was his choice. That was his job. And Adam called every living creature that was the name, and whatever he called it, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle, the fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. They all had companions. They all had mates. All these birds, all these creeping things, everything, every male had a female. There were couples. Verse 21. And the Lord God invented anesthesia. Now, didn't God just create Adam out of dirt? Just took dirt and formed man. That's what the Bible says. The clay of the earth. Why didn't he do that with Eve? Why didn't he just form a woman? No. He wanted Eve to come out of Adam's side. Now, this is huge. He came out of the side. He didn't take his foot bone, did he? Let me take her out of his foot so he can have dominion over her. He didn't do that. Let me take her out of his skull so she can have dominion over him. That's not what God did. Took her out of the side to be companion, to be beside him, to be his partner. And so he gives us a lesson in there. And he took a rib. He didn't take an old straight bone. He took a shapely bone, didn't he? He took one with a curve in it. And he made women beautiful. Y'all don't agree with that? I see the men going, amen. I see the women are just like, why are you saying that? But that's what God did. And then he closed up the flesh instead thereof. So Adam had a scar. He had surgery. And God took the rib and made a woman. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, let me correct one thing, because I heard this growing up, that's why the ribs are different on men than they are on women. That's just not the case. I don't know. Unfortunately, sometimes people hear things and they just repeat it without looking into it. So always be cautious about repeating things like that. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, verse 23. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So of all the things that people tell us that we don't believe science, that the Bible doesn't agree with science, here we are at an impasse with the people in the world who now decide there's more than two genders. The Bible tells us he created man and woman. And he made a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man. I don't know. Of all the things, they tell us we don't believe in science. And that's basics. That's Genesis. That's fundamental. And yet, we are being bigots if we don't believe all these other genders. The Bible says there's two. By the way, science says there's two. And has for all as long as scientists have been around until recently. Now all of a sudden it's different. The Bible hasn't changed. And science hasn't changed. Now I will say that there are there times when there's a malfunction, genetic mutation? Yes, there are. There are people who have been born that have parts that belong to both sexes. Mutation. We know about mutations. That does not make it, it doesn't make it, a new creation. It's a mutation. And we can understand that until somebody gets their feelings hurt and gets emotional about it, and all of a sudden we have to change what we believe. No, I'm not changing what science, I'm not changing science because you can't, and I'm not changing the Bible because you can't. And if you think that makes me a bigot, then you're wrong. I'm just calling it what it is. Anyway, I think we ought to have compassion for people that are living in that confusion. But we need to recognize that that's what it is. It is a confusion. By the way, God says that in His Word. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now, do we have time to give you all the other answers? A little bit. Adam lived 930 years. Now, what we've seen here, number one, we saw the first week, and Adam wasn't even created till the sixth day. And then God rested on the seventh day. We don't have specifics about how long after that God made woman. We know that Adam worked before he had a companion, right? He named all the animals. He worked in the field. So we know that it was not the same day. He had time enough to name all of the creation. So then at some point, God said, you know what? Adam needs a wife. God already knew he was going to do it, but there was some time. He let Adam experience that loneliness, that need. It says Adam recognized. Well, how come the hippo's got a wife, and the rhino's got a wife, and the alligator's got a wife, and I don't have one? And so God made a woman. Now, how long was it? We don't know. We also, the Bible tells us about the sons of Adam being, I almost named Noah's sons, Cain and Abel and Seth. Right? We know about those three. But according to the historian, Josephus, the Jewish historian, he had, 33 sons and 23 daughters. Now, can't see that in here. So, 33 and 23. And so the question is, where did all these other people come from? Well, in 930 years, Adam produced 56 children. And those children married and had children. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand. And I know that's hard for us to accept. And I know that in the medical field, in the scientific field, we would say, well, if they married their brothers and sisters and had offspring, then there would be mutations. But remember something, that Adam and Eve were perfect in their creation. They didn't have diseases. They didn't have mutations. So in that first generation, especially, you wouldn't have had that to happen, the mutations. But now with every subsequent generation, you would. It wasn't until 2,500 years later that God made a rule in Leviticus. And by the way, let's pause there and go to after the flood. How many people survived the flood? Eight. You don't have to go all the way back to Adam and Eve to ask the question, where did everybody else come from? We've got eight people that survived the flood, and everybody came from them. And so there had to be the marriage of cousins and such as that. Again, 2,500 years after Adam and Eve is when God gave us the rules in Leviticus. Let's go ahead and turn there. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus Numbers, page 150, if you have a Scofield. So up until this point, okay, Leviticus. Who wrote Leviticus? Moses, okay, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. He's the author by the inspiration of God. So there were, was Moses there on the first week to see Adam and Eve? No, he wasn't. God told him that. So whatever God told Moses, what Moses wrote. In Leviticus chapter 18, 2,500 years after creation, Let's go to verse number 6, and we'll read a whole bunch of stuff here. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. First rule. You can't go to your next of kin, your near of kin. Okay? So up until now, that hadn't been the rule. I know that to us, it's hard for us to comprehend how a brother and sister can marry and have children. I know that's hard for us to comprehend. But for the first 2,500 years, there was no rule against it. There was no stand against it. Verse number 7, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So your mother and your father. Again, so of course not. There was no rule for 2,500 years. You understand? Our thinking, the way we've been taught, the way we've been brought up, and there's a huge discussion today about the sin against children and such as that. I'm 100% in agreement that we should protect the innocence of children, that we should enforce the law of anybody that attacks or abuses, sexually especially, a child. I have no tolerance for that. This rule that they just passed in California, I'll clarify it in case you hadn't read it, there's what they call the Romeo and Juliet rule, which means if they're within 10 years, that you're not automatically sent to prison or sent to jail. Okay, so let's say you're 21 and you're dating a girl that's 15. Well, because she's not 18, she's not of the age of majority, so you shouldn't be able to date a 15-year-old. But if they were in agreement to be a couple, then the law does not mandate that they go to jail. So far clear? If it's a man and a woman. So if he's 25 and she's 15, that 10 years, let's say he's 24 and she's 15. Now, how many of you think that's a good relationship? Nobody does. We don't mind when it's 30 and 40, but when it's 25 and 16, we're opposed to it. That 10 years. So California had a rule that says if it's two boys, one's 25 and one's 16, then they automatically go to prison. But what California's done is they've taken that rule out. So all this discussion about California legalizing pedophilia, that's what the rule is. They had a difference in between a man and a woman and a man and a man. And so California, of course, decided they had to change that. I'm opposed to it either way. I'm absolutely opposed to it. But that, to clarify, that's the rule that got changed. But you do understand that in those days, way back, people got married at 14 years old. We're opposed to it, right? We think kids ought to be able to grow up and learn and go to college and all that kind of stuff and be 18 at least. We don't even want to get them married when they're 18, right? We think they ought to wait till they're 25 or something. But back in those days, they were 14 years old. Well, at what age can a girl get pregnant and have children? Varies, right? Varies. But pretty much puberty. So that's where we're looking at. So things are different. Our society has trained us a lot of things. So don't be so offended that all of population came from two people. Don't be so offended by that. That their children, brothers and sisters, had children together. Don't be so offended. Look, we don't do it today. We're opposed to it today. We know the mutation factor today. But don't choke on that when you go back to Genesis. Okay? Does that answer the question? Does it create more questions? By the way, Abraham was married to his half-sister. You remember that? Abraham and Sarah, they said, they went to Egypt, and they said, Abraham, who is this? Well, he was afraid that if he said it was his wife, they would kill him so they could take his wife. So what did he say? Well, she's my sister. And they said, oh, okay. Well, so then they found out it was his wife. And Abraham said, well, I wasn't really lying. She's my half-sister. We have the same father, but not the same mother. That was in Abraham's day. So you see, there was still the marriage, the marrying together, of which we would never do that, right? We say, no, you can't do that. That's because we're after that law. They were before that law. Okay? Any questions? Did you learn anything today? Do you have any questions? All right, let's take a break.